Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian. I have assembled the Avengers. I mean, I have assembled the cast of Flame On here with me today. I have Oral.
Hi, everyone.
We have Jared.
Wasn't I amazing?
Just drop the mic. Jared.
Hi.
My brother Jeff.
I would rather us be the Defenders.
I was in a movie. Scarlet Witch is not the Defenders.
Is this all we're going to hear about today? I think it is.
Well, you know what? I actually have really good critiques to talk about the Avengers.
I can't wait to get into it. And finally, Pat, back here behind me in the producer's booth.
Yay, I got a booth.
Like, almost literally a booth.
You got a booth job?
I did. I don't have to wear pants for this job.
He's a booth bear, so, I mean, he could be a booth.
Nice.
I don't know. All right, so, yeah, let's just dig in. So, we got Avengers. We saw it. I think most of us... Well, I don't know. Jared, did you see it?
I was going to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Uh-oh.
Okay, well...
Do you care about spoilers?
No.
There will be, by the way, spoilers. In case anyone is wondering if we will say anything about what happened, we will.
You can't really dig into the meat of it without spoiling something.
I agree, but people still are like, oh my God, why'd you spoil that? Anyway,
so if you're going to see Avengers and you don't want any spoilers, just skip ahead 10, 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Do you think we'll be wrapped up in 10 or 15 minutes on Avengers?
I'm really hoping.
But... let's just start with the fact that it was a juggernaut of a movie, not to mix continuities or whatever.
Still is.
Is it really?
The second weekend, of course, it was number one again.
It made, what, over $180 million opening weekend?
I think so.
Second highest from... I forgot what the first highest was, but...
The Avengers.
Oh, it was the second highest of the Avengers? Okay.
Avengers had like $202 million opening weekend, and Avengers 2 had $187.2 million for the opening weekend.
It's good to be Marvel.
Yeah. I don't think Kevin Feige, is that how you say his name?
Is it
Kevin Feige?
Is it Feige? Is it like the yogurt?
Feige?
Kevin Feige?
I don't know. I think he's pretty secure in his job for the foreseeable future. What do we think?
Talk about the good, then the bad?
Yeah, start with the good.
I thought it was, for the most part, entertaining throughout. It tried to push the, like, fleshing out of the, like, the team dynamic, and you see the tensions building between Iron Man and Tony, and you see kind of, like, the lines drawn between, like, I guess Hawkeye and Black Widow on Cap's side, and, like, Hulk and this random doctor who's pretty much Amadeus Cho's mom.
So that's what that was, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they kept referring to her as Cho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amadeus
so,
Cho?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, like, you kind of see the lines being drawn in the sand, and Tony trying to prevent the world from falling into chaos like it did during the Chitauri invasion by ultimately creating Ultron.
All thanks to you. Why'd you get in his head?
Yeah. Well, really.
You messed him up.
Wanda. First, let's talk about Wanda.
Since, you know what?
You know, you're here with us today.
I will say my first issue with the Avengers is that there wasn't enough Scarlet Witch. Like, it needed more Scarlet Witch. The second time they went to Sokovia, more Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
The first time, you know, we're just out and about, witty banter, the party, more Scarlet Witch.
I did like that they stuck to, in many ways, the sort of classic Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver. They start out as bad guys, in a sense, misguided by Ultron, or by Strucker, then Ultron. And then they come around when they realize, oh, look, this guy's actually a megalomaniac.
Because they're not evil. They just have a strong sense of justice.
And they hate America.
Well, they don't hate America.
They hate Tony Stark.
They hate Tony Stark for the fact that he almost blew them up.
And for good reason. Like, that's the thing that we started to kind of see in this movie is that even though you save the world, there are still consequences and repercussions to the life that you have led. So with the Hulk's just not going to get off scot-free. And when it comes to Stark, he made weapons, awful, awful weapons. And you don't just get away with that. And, you know, I think him creating Ultron as opposed to Pym, who I hate anyway, makes sense that he's trying to, you know, wash the blood off his hands from his past. And in doing so, blinded himself and created this horrible monster.
And he did it very much as an outgrowth of The Last Avengers because he was so traumatized by almost, like, he saved the world, but almost not saving the world and almost the world ending because of something so far outside of their realm of control that they just lucked out, really.
I do like that at least they explained the, well, how does man magically overcome the big obstacle and create AI? Like, well, they basically use the mind gem as that little push over the edge to
really
say.
Really confusing, too. Like, I got what they were doing at first, but then I was like, but so is Ultron the mind gem? And if he is, the mind gem is in Vision. So I'm just like,
mind gem.
No, but it was the power of the mind gem that kind of boosted the AI into some kind of an organic.
They were interfacing Jarvis with the mind gem to create Ultron. So Ultron is an extension of both and neither. Just like Vision is kind of an extension of both and he says neither or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, it was still a little weird about that. Now, I will say, as much as there was not enough Wanda, of course, I thought that there was not enough Vision as much as I love the way they did Vision.
Can I say that partway through the movie, I totally forgot Vision was coming until he's like, I'm going to create this thing. And I'm like, holy shit, that's right. Vision is going to be in this movie.
And they mentioned the Resurrection Crash pretty much at the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is a way for a character to die and come back. Didn't even occur to me that this would be a way for Vision to be created until later. And then it was like, oh, all right, that works too.
But yeah, like, I love James Spader as Ultron. Like,
did a very good job.
Yeah, and it's not fair to say, you know, sometimes an actor, their mannerisms, specifically when they're being like a villain, or a megalomaniac is, you know, they have this sort of like affectation. He has this affectation with his head and I like James Spader. I think he makes an awesome villain. Like, it is the Blacklist. It's like the Blacklist of the Marvel Universe, except, you know, he's going to kill all life.
Is he a bad guy in that show? I've not watched it.
He's a anti-hero?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched the first season and I started watching a little bit of season two. He's got good elements, but you never know where he's going to end up on any given issue. So you don't know if he's your friend or if he's your foe. So
it's kind of a Hannibal Lecter of sorts.
Except Hannibal at the very end of the story is always going to be the one to kill somebody.
I gotcha.
James Spader, I mean, he has heroic moments. Okay. Hannibal, I don't think even in the show has had any heroic moments.
In the movies.
No. But I liked his portrayal of Ultron.
I thought
it was great.
He was amazing.
Ultron bores me to death.
Yeah, and the comic
so
books.
One note
yeah,
in the
he's
comics.
A very lifeless kind of character. He's just destroy humanity. Spader actually injected him with some personality.
And I didn't get it when they first cast him. I was like, what?
Maybe Robert Downey Jr. owed him a favor from a long time ago in all those movies they were in together.
Well, somebody pointed out to me, and I forgot if it was on iFanboy or where it was, but Ultron is an extension of Tony Stark. Therefore, he should have an extension of Tony Stark's personality, which includes the sort of quippy
caustic.
Yeah. So that made a lot more sense. And as much as I do kind of wish they had worked in Pym, because I do like Hank Pym, and even though they're whatever.
Hear that, Maddie? Watch out. Black eyes are coming.
Lord. I didn't think about that. No, I mean, Hank Pym is not crucial to the story, of course. It makes so much sense in this Marvel Cinematic Universe that it's Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of upset, though, because I understand why they have Tony Stark create Ultron. And I saw all the seeds of Civil War planted through the first 90% of the movie. Then at the end, they're fucking basically like eye-fucking each other and like kissing goodbye. I'm like, why not, why leave it that way?
Yeah.
Why not leave there with some, you don't have to be like, I'm going to punch you in the face at the end, but leave it with a bit of tension, you know, agree to let bygones be bygones, because then you'll pick up whatever Tony's been doing in the meantime at the start of Civil War. But you have them basically kind of forgiving, you know, forgiving and forgetting, letting bygones be bygones. You set up this throughout this entire movie. You perfectly set up Civil War, and now you just kind of whitewashed it at the end. And that's the only part that I was kind of upset about in the setup for it.
Well, I don't necessarily see it like that. I mean, you can have major disagreements with, you know, your friends and your coworkers and not hate them. You just disagree. You could still be happy that they, you know, they saved the world. You know, they had a few casualties, but ultimately they saved the world. Like, I see why you wouldn't want to go out on a sour note. But, like, it's not like everything they did in that last scene kind of, like, washed away all of the tension. The tension's still there. Yeah, they're still diametrically
it's
opposed.
It's like having a good friend that's politically opposite of you. You know, they're your friend, and you want to, you know, be their friend, but you also, you know, disagree with them profoundly on a philosophical issue. Now, the one thing I did read about with Whedon is that he really did not want any of the tie-ins to other parts of the larger story of the Infinity Gems, and actually fought the studio to get rid of that awful scene with Thor going into
the vision pool,
the Lazarus pit of the Marvel Universe, but it just gives you,
it's not a Lazarus
pit. I know. But it was just so obviously ham-handedly done as a way to, oh, look, there are these Infinity Gems. And he fought against it, but he had to take it. Because A, it's Marvel. B, they wanted to cut the cabin scene with Hawkeye's family, and he thought that was really a nice organic way to explore their relationships.
Also, to set up more and more the big swerve of, we're going to kill Hawkeye, JK.
Well, yeah, that too. Although I kept thinking of the Ultimate Continuity, where they basically kill Hawkeye's family. I was just like, oh, God, they're going to die.
Well, in Ultimate Continuity, it was Black Widow that killed them.
Yeah. Well, so. And they played up the Black Widow thing, too. So there's a lot of things like, you're like, oh, that's not what they're doing. Now, Nick Fury did come back, of course, that we didn't
with a helicarrier.
With a helicarrier, which we'll talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here in a little bit. That's interesting.
Theta Protocol.
Yeah, the way they tied all that in.
My favorite part was, and we'll talk about it later on. We'll talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. later on. But the episode before Ultron premiered in the movie theaters, Coulson's little nod to, he mentions Fury's name and he goes, oops, spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite lines from S.H.I.E.L.D. tying into Ultron.
It's very meta and kind of funny. But what did we not like about them? So I started the whole thing with the pool thing, which I felt was just a totally lame way. And besides the fact, Scarlet Witch was giving them fears, not visions. Okay.
Right.
The fact that Thor had a vision because he had this fear, that doesn't make sense to me at all.
Right.
Really.
Well, that's supposed to tie into Ragnarok. That's going to be explored. That's why he goes back to Asgard and whatever is set into motion with Loki as Odin and all of that.
But you get what Brian's saying, though? Like, Scarlet Witch gave him a fear.
Yeah.
But so would Thor have that in the back of his head?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Their fears also led them to truths. That's what the whole, and it's really bizarre. And it's kind of like Wanda's powers. They're weird.
Well, yeah. That's
so
that.
She's messing with their minds.
No, she's telepathic, right? She's telekinetic, and that's what her powers.
It's bullshit.
Is she Jean Grey?
I was so mad when I heard that was the only like dark cloud over my head when I went into that movie, because ostensibly they turned her into Jean Grey.
Right.
And what what I get is with when Scarlet Witch's powers are based off of probability. So when you just do that and you say it's kind of like science and magic, mutation and sorcery, you get it. It makes sense. She makes the improbable happen. When Bendis took her and kicked her up a notch, and people have done this before when she's the nexus of realities and all that sort of stuff, like he gave her a power boost and now it's reality warping, which someone said it's like a wish power. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what it is. But you know, Franklin Richards does it and it's psionic and it makes total sense. When she does it, I don't understand what's going on.
It's, yeah.
But when you do both of them together, she tends to not make sense at all.
Yeah.
And so you got to choose one and the other and or the other. And I would rather they've just done that instead of just turning her into Jean Grey. Cause she can do all of those things.
Right.
But the, like the way they kind of like limited her. Which you would have to do for movies anyway. Like, I completely understand that. It just, it's the only, like, fanboy sort of rage thingy I have. Because it's not, like, I had to deal through the Nova Force not being the Nova Force.
Right.
And so, like, not having Scarlet Witch as, like, pure Scarlet Witch irks me. But I'm glad she was in it. I really like Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda. And I like that they made her eyes flash red.
Yeah, that was nice. What do you think of Quicksilver? I did not even remember that that's Kick-Ass, that that's, what's his name?
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was like, who's this guy? And then I went back later and someone posted something and, you know, they were alluding to that. And I was like, oh my God, he looked nothing like his previous depictions. And
he's been working out.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I was sad, of course, because I actually like Quicksilver. I think he's kind of a, he's kind of like Namor to me. He's kind of a dick. I mean, he is pretty much a dick, but he's like a good-ish.
Depending on the writer.
Depending on the writer.
Yeah.
And, I guess Whedon even shot a scene where he did show up at the end with the new Avengers as one of them. And
what, to throw people off the fact that they were going
to
kill him?
I think it was to leave options so that if the studio decided at the last minute, and, you know, actually, no, let's keep him, they would do that. But,
I'm glad he's gone.
It simplifies the Fox versus Marvel issue about two Quicksilvers
out there. Well, Marvel Comics took care of that coming that they're going to take care of that.
It's not even that. It's just that, you know, I don't particularly like them together because I feel like they always pigeonhole them together. And then because it's the Ultimate Universe, they're still giving off this sort of like incestuous vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so with him out of the picture, she gets to shine.
Well, I will more say, screen time for Wanda.
I squealed at the more, end.
Oh, did you?
I.
Why? The outfit?
Mm-hmm.
Really? You like the outfit?
Well.
I'm missing the headpiece.
You know, she put some lightener in her hair. She lightened up her hair a bit, you know.
Yeah. I just.
No more gray hairs. I don't know. Whatever she's got.
I liked it. Overall, like, was it the best movie ever? No.
Yeah.
But was I entertained? Yes.
Did you enjoy the nod to, fanboys everywhere when Vision had a catcher.
Oh.
And they just had, they shared that look. And I was like, ah.
Oh my God, I'm melted.
It's like your own human-sized vibrator, Wanda.
That's not.
I was upset, though, that I get the Mind Stone. I know that we all knew the Mind Stone was going to be in Loki's Scepter. Like, it was there. They just hadn't touched it. And obviously, it came back around in this movie. But I was so hoping that it would be the Soul Gem.
Yeah.
For Vision to make him more human. You know, so that piece of it. And then he turns it, and then by proxy becomes our Warlock.
See, and I just want Adam Warlock proper.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Well, we all do, but do we really think that?
I don't think it would be a pain to pull that off. I mean, it's going to be a pain to
change his origin.
Right. And it'll be a pain when they finally introduce Thanos to be like, if they go anywhere near his original story, they're going to get deep into like eternal lore and all that shit.
I just don't think they're going to do
right.
much of
so
his backstory.
The introduction of him is going to get modified.
Yeah, it'll be, yeah. But
they could just have him pop the fuck up like he does at the beginning of Infinity Gauntlet. Just, hey, I'm here.
Yep. Thanos Quest, even. Because that's the first event, Infinity War, is you got to have Thanos going around collecting stuff. What? I mean, obviously, they're going to do something with Ragnarok, probably, in Civil War, probably. But, you know, he's got to show up somewhere.
And that's kind of the curious part, is now that Vision has the Mind Gem, is
take
it going to be...
right out.
Yeah, Thanos is going to show up and just rip it out of his skull.
You know there's going to be a scene that's exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
I'd be curious, actually, what... After watching the movie and seeing the way things kind of fell with Iron Man saying, you know, we got to do whatever is necessary to protect the people and protect what's coming and blah, 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 and the way that Cap kind of held him to be accountable for what he did, I would enjoy if they took the Civil War premise and flipped it. and make Tony Stark the one who's anti-superhero registration.
Yeah.
And Cap the one in favor of it. And ultimately kill
Dark Knight, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice League.
But ultimately...
That looks like a hot mess.
Yeah, but ultimately have Iron Man dead at the end instead of Cap. Because it would solve the Robert Downey Jr. issue,
actually,
too.
Actually, yeah, that would be good for that. So, I think overall we all liked it. I mean, it was fun. I'm sad to see Whedon go, although if the rumors are true about him going to Star Wars.
God, man, he's going on to...
That is fine with me, too.
He's been quoted as saying he wants to go and build his own universes again, so I don't know. I don't know how true those rumors are.
Yeah, because I've heard that. I've heard he still wants to do a Wonder Woman movie eventually, because that's what he wanted to do for the longest
DC
time.
DC would be a fool if they turned him down again.
Yeah.
With all the problems they've been having, but.
They would still fuck it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would still fuck
it up.
Whedon
would be like, screw you, I'm done. We're not doing this again.
I mean, that's the whole thing. You've got the DC universe that's all dark and moody, and then you've got Whedon, who does dark and moody, but does a lot of humor and a lot of, bright spots too, that they just don't seem to put in there. If they were smart, they would do any movie with him and kickstart their universe with it. But, you know, Marvel may have him on a no DC clause as well. So you never know.
Yeah. We'll just see. All we know is he quit Twitter.
Yeah.
Because he wanted a quiet space.
Well, yeah.
Damn feminists.
See, and this is where...
Don't say damn feminists.
I know. We'll
damn crazy feminists.
We
like the good
so
ones.
Much tumble. We will get so much tweet.
Ladies, you can have all the opinions you want. I love you.
No. Are you...
I accept them.
What was the kids in the hall thing last night?
Oh, I am
I have
supportive.
I have a good attitude
about menstruation.
Yeah,
the Dave Foley skit. And internet, if you haven't seen Kids in the Hall, go watch it. It's fantastic.
Oh my God, it was great. All right. Movies otherwise.
One last thing. Yeah. Can I just say, you may not have liked them having to, shove the Vision Quest into the movie, but when I saw the Infinity Gems, I got all excited.
You mean Infinity Stones? They still call them stones, right?
No, I think somebody mentioned gems. There was
they're stones.
The mind gem. So it's weird combination.
This is the Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul debate, isn't it? It depends on where you're from in the universe. You call them a stem or a gem.
My guess is Thanos takes it to one of those little places that tumble. So he gets a little tumbler, and he puts the Infinity Stones in the tumbler.
Are they going to be like, he takes it to like the galactic jewelry appraiser? Like, let's see, I believe this is a Power Stone.
That's that guy in Xandar from Guardians. Remember, he's got the crazy collection and...
The collector?
No.
Oh, the other guy.
The other guy. Sub-collector.
I have the fanboy irk, though, every time I see them. It's like, that's not the right colors. It's not the fucking right colors. Power Stone was red. Soul Stone is green.
Oh, they changed.
Mind Stone is blue.
They changed them.
God, red, yellow is the Reality Stone, motherfuckers.
You just you get over it.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I heard they're doing a promotion with the comics, like DC did with the rings, where they're going to be doing stones or something. I don't know.
Again, give you a little baggy of bling.
Yeah, here's your crystal meth rock. Take this with your poly bag.
It's years off. I'm just rolling with these.
As long as they put little sticky backs on them and I can just pop one on my forehead and be warlock for a day.
Or put them on your knuckles.
Yeah, exactly. Just pop them right on your knuckles.
What's up?
Mugger comes up you. Give me a bling, bitch.
Did we talk about the trailers for the new Star Wars and or Dark Knight?
We talked about them, I believe.
I don't know.
I don't think we've talked about the Batman v Superman one for sure.
Do we want to just have a collective bitch thing for minute?
I'm just not
1 minute
thrilled.
Venting.
It looks depressing. It looks so depressing.
You know what? If I didn't, like, for some reason, even though I know it's pretty much The Dark Knight Strikes Back, just inverted, I'm just not interested. Like, I'm just not.
The Nolan tone of the DC universe is just so same note.
But it's not even Nolan. This is what I can't.
Well, Nolan was a producer on Man of Steel.
Yeah, but he had little to do with it. It was David Goyer.
Goyer's been writing for a lot of stuff.
I know, and Goyer's take is always dark.
But this is the problem, though. Christopher Nolan's Batman made them money.
Right.
Nothing else they did. The last time they tried to do a light tone movie was the Green Lantern. It bombed for them.
Yep. Yeah.
Then Nolan comes in, does the Batman trilogy, and it's all dark, depressing, and gray. Or sepia tone, basically. So they're going to take and run with that. So that's why they put Nolan on as whatever consulting producer on Man of Steel. And that's why we get a grayed down Superman movie where Superman's killing people.
I still think, though, his role on it, like, they were inspired by his take, but I don't think it's him. I'm telling you, it's Zack Snyder, which if you watch any other Snyder film, they're all pretty bleak. And then it's Goyer, because again, everything Goyer has done superhero wise is dark. He did the Blade stuff.
I thought 300 was pretty upbeat. No?
Well, anyway, the trailer looks awful.
Go Spartans!
We're not fans of it. The new Star Wars trailer, however,
looks great.
Oh my God.
This is what makes me so sad, is that, like, at my core, I will always be a Marvel fanboy. But I can still see, you know, the strings and, you know, sometimes Marvel, you know, misses it. And yeah. I get it. Like, I totally get it. But to see people defend Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman, and they're all like, well, Wonder Woman's coming. They're like, look, this is going to be awesome. I'm like, you don't know that. Like, the way I go into any movie is the way I approached Kingdom Hearts 2. I just wait to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, because you know what? If you have no expectations, you cannot be disappointed.
That's true.
You just wait and see.
Lowered expectations.
I may be super surprised by Batman v Superman. But the biggest surprise will be if I'm actually surprised.
Yeah, no, right. I'm kind of the same mindset now.
But Star Wars looks fantastic.
Oh, but watch, it'll be disappointing too. Yeah, the interesting thing was they did the second trailer, which looks great, and you see Kylo Ren, the new Sith Lord, presumably. And then the Vanity Fair article.
Dreamy. Yeah, and they put out Annie Leibovitz photos for all the major characters.
No mask, it's Adam Driver without facial hair.
Did anybody not realize it would be Adam Driver?
Of course, I think everybody knew it was Adam Driver. Although some early speculation was it was actually Luke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, the real shock was the Chrome Trooper is Brienne. Yeah, Brienne from Game of Thrones.
Gwendolyn Christie?
What? Yeah. I was like, what? Oh, all right. Cool.
Did you not know?
Not until the Vanity Fair thing, no.
Yeah, that brief rumor that they
put...
There
was a rumor, but I...
Well, that rumor they shoved back in the bottle of Max von Sydow in the movie being Boba Fett.
Oh, God, that keeps popping up everywhere.
Though. Yeah.
It's like...
But they keep saying, they keep trying to put that down. Like, no, that's not true. That's not true.
So, what's the next big movie? I mean, we got
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's like later in the summer. Is there anything?
It's like June.
Mad Max is before that.
Mad Max is two weeks from now?
It's next weekend.
It's next weekend. That's right.
Oh, I want to see that so bad.
I'm super excited. I'm going to see it in IMAX.
And I like
that trailer. Make your dick hard.
That trailer. All of the trailers, but especially the one where
the more they show, the more I want to see it.
Like, and I've never been a huge Mad Max fan. I do like Tina Turner. I like it. I just, it's not a huge thing. You know, it's like, it's okay. But the Tina Turner stuff, of course, I love.
Well, yeah, like,
Thunderdome.
Thunderdome is my favorite movie to quote, but like, those movies are just like, hey.
Excuses for action sequences. Yeah. Excuses for bad car crashes.
Oh, yeah. Something bad happened.
It's like almost porn.
People went to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited and everything looks great. So, nothing else with movies? Shall we move on to television?
Please.
So there have been some unfortunate cancellations.
Boo!
Man, NBC brought down the hammer.
Boo!
Constantine is dead.
Dead at NBC.
Dead at NBC. There may be some plans to try to save him.
They brought back The Game. They put that on BET.
Stephen Amell, the guy who plays Oliver Queen on Arrow.
He pitched.
He's still saying that there's still hope out there if they put it on another network that there could be some kind of crossover.
Well, maybe he could be like at least a special guest, and then maybe he could be on that new DC show, Legends of Tomorrow.
Please don't put him on.
It's a dumb
the
title.
CW.
Well, they can't though. It's like the tone of Constantine. I only watched a little bit towards the end when Brian was watching it, but their tone is completely different. There's no teen soapiness to it. Who would, you know, it doesn't seem like it would live there.
There's adult soapiness.
Yeah.
And I think I as a fan of the series could take a hit, like production wise, and you could just throw it on sci-fi and I'd be okay.
Or Hulu or Netflix even.
Sci-fi is even cutting the fat though. They killed your show Helix.
Well, I was going to mention that.
I wasn't going to watch
The end of the Helix second season, the writing was on the wall. They pretty much wrapped everything up, and it was awful.
Mm. But you know what's coming awful. Back? Defiance.
I need to watch second season. I didn't watch it.
I like Defiance.
I liked it too.
They're still making that whole continuity with the game.
I think so, wait, but nobody's what? Playing. Nobody's yeah. playing Defiance.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
When the show launched and they put out a game like an MMO,
the video game, not yeah. the game.
But things in the way it was supposed to work is that things on the series would affect the game and vice versa.
Right. The game no one's playing.
But the game, like, it's glitchy, it's repetitive.
I heard it's awful, yeah.
And nobody's playing it. Yeah. And I understand why nobody's playing it. But as a series, it's cool.
No, as a series, it's kind of socio-economical exploration of aliens among us in a post-apocalyptic sort of new world.
That didn't bore you like Alien Nation.
I was going to say, it's like Alien Nation without the spoiled milk. Or rather, with the spoiled milk, which makes you intoxicated if you're an alien. They also canceled Forever, which I know Pat really likes.
Oh, did they cancel it?
Yeah.
I know people that watch that.
Yo and Griffith cannot keep a
show. Is that the Emmy who's also...
Immortal?
Mr. Fantastic, who, yeah, he keeps dying. He's basically John Barrowman. He's Captain Jack. He
like
keeps
coming back to life. His son is played by Judd Hirsch from Taxi.
His son, that's right. Oh, that's kind of freaky.
Well, it's his son by being raised. They go into the backstory. He's in the concentration camps, and he and his the main character and his wife end up raising him. So they tied it. It was interesting. The first couple episodes really played on the premise way too much. The point is that he's an immortal. He was killed on a slave ship that his family owned. He was shot, thrown overboard. That, I guess, triggered his immortality. He still doesn't know what happened or why it is.
His Highlander gene?
Yes, basically.
That can be only one.
Yeah. But every time he is killed, or anytime he's killed, he disappears from wherever he is and emerges from a body of water. Naked. So, he gets pulled out of the Hudson River. Like, he pops up and he's like, hey, alright, the police have arrested him a bunch of times, the whole thing. But he has to constantly move. Because he can't just be the same person in one place. Because people are going to be like, yeah, my grandparents knew you and they're all dead now. So why are you still here? Yeah. So he fakes his schooling, does all that, ends up working at the morgue.
So he's Duncan MacLeod if he was the pretender?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, very well put.
A lot of combinations of other things that have birthed this.
He's dead now. It's sad.
You know what I'm not going to miss that got canceled?
What?
The Following.
Really?
I'm not going to miss that.
The first season I thought was supposed to be really good.
It's okay. And it got worse from there.
But they killed off the main guy, right? The main villain, and then it became sort of directionless.
No, because the main guy was back in the second season, but in a much lesser role.
Well, they wrote him off to a point.
Right. I like James Purfoy, the guy who played the main bad guy. Kevin Bacon's okay, but... It was a Kevin Williamson creation.
Oh, I didn't know
so that. So some of the writing was good and other parts of the writing were terrible.
People talk like they never do in real life.
Exactly. And people make decisions like the FBI to catch a serial killer makes just every dumb decision possible.
Mm. Justified wrapped up. Did you ever cut
I need to finish
up?
It.
Again, I will have to defer discussing the ending until later, but needless to say, it wraps up very well if you like the characters. All of the characters have their own little moments in the sun, and it's nice.
Okay.
Now let's talk about things that have not quite wrapped up. One of them has for the season, and the others are almost wrapped up. Of course, I would like to start with Gotham. I did a 5-minute drunken tirade on comic book bears that are probably forthcoming when this episode is up. So if you really want to hear me rant and rave for a while, much to the delight of my show co-host, then you should check that out. But I won't do that here, even though I've been drinking another giant can of Modelo. This one's a enchilada.
Shit-a-lotta?
You're gonna shit-a-lotta after you're done. You're gonna get the run.
I'll get my vitamin C, though.
It's beer and
tomato
Bloody
juice.
Mary.
So it's a beer tomato juice.
With lime.
With a hint of lime.
Some salt.
I
like it.
Now, dysentery?
Maybe a hint of ballsack? Sweaty ballsack.
Oh my. So needless to say, did we all watch Gotham? Have you watched
I am behind in the following shows. Flash, Gotham, Grimm, Shameless.
Arrow?
I'm not watching Arrow. I'm behind a lot.
RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes.
Oh MG.
You see what happens when you get it all professionally, you lose the ability to do things.
I have been so disgustingly busy, and when we get to the comic book portion, get ready because I'm about to snatch everybody's edges back. Like I just can't. So yeah, I'm behind in a lot.
I'm gonna spoil Gotham. I'm not gonna spoil Flash. I'm not gonna spoil.
Why would you not spoil Flash, the show that I'm probably never gonna watch again?
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You don't watch it. All right. Well, but do you mind if I spoil Gotham?
Go ahead.
Okay. But who here has seen through the end of Gotham?
I'm raising my hand.
Pat's raising his hand. Brian told me about it last night, and after he told me about it, I have no desire to watch it.
Oh, there is no reason to watch it.
It sounds so bad.
All the commercials were like, tune in for the last 5 minutes and blah, blah, blah. The last 5 minutes are the fucking weakest part of the goddamn show.
Yep.
Like, seriously, you have fucking Kid Bruce Wayne and Alfred tearing apart a library for the entire episode, only to then push a button and a wall moves. And that's it.
And there's a
what the fuck
passage.
Is that for? Why was Thomas Wayne Batman? Like I just don't get it. You're really just there's no purpose for Batman to become Batman the way they're telling his story. There is no purpose for it whatsoever, unless he fucking falls down a goddamn hole and there's bats that fly at him at the beginning of next season. No point whatsoever.
Well, I mean, they may do the traditional Batman thing, which is the bat breaks through the glass and. He sees the bat and that moment
and it makes
of
the shape of his fucking crest. Is that where he gets it from?
It's a weird thing. But no, so here's that's a big problem, of course. They're doing stuff in the show with Bruce Wayne because they got to do something. And he's going to Wayne Enterprises and he's digging around. And Wayne Enterprises are being corrupt and they're trying to kill the son. They're trying to do stuff to like see what he knows. And he meets a young Lucius Fox. And Lucius is like, oh, your father.
A young scrappy up-and-coming inventor named Lucius Fox.
Basically, and he's like, your father, because one of the business people is like, oh, your father, he was in on the take. He knew what was going on with us, selling arms and being in criminal enterprises, whatever. So Lucius is like, your father is a good man. He was a stoic wink. And I'm like.
Well, okay. I like the way that they did it, though. He had him walk out Bruce to the elevator, and then Bruce turns, and he's like, look at me. Do not move your head. Like, it was, I like the way they set that up.
Yeah, so they're trying to keep him from, like, he was talking so the cameras would pick up and read his lips or something.
Yeah.
But needless to say, the clue, your father was a stoic. So the way Bruce figures out that his father had this secret, now that he knows that his father has a secret, is by going, wait, my father was a stoic. He had a book by Marcus Aurelius, who also was a stoic. I'm going to get that book and open it up. And oh my God, there's a remote control in the book. And when I press the button, music plays and I can go down into the cave.
Did the ceiling, my father. Did the ceiling lights flash and bells ring and he was in the fucking cash cab?
Are we just not caring about phrasing anymore?
What I say?
Go down into the cave of my father.
Oh, Jesus. I'm working through issues. All right. That was that's one awful part of it. Okay. There's many other awful parts.
One of the other amazingly awful parts is that the last time we saw Fish Mooney, she was shot probably fatally through the gut by a sniper.
It looked like it.
The only person on the fucking show that can shoot. The only person. You could be 5 feet away, have a fucking machine gun, still not hit somebody that isn't moving. He wasn't moving around all that much, still missed him with every fucking bullet.
So she gets hit.
So she's in the plane, she's in the helicopter, gets hit by a sniper bullet, but still has time to go get a hairdo.
And get vajazzled on her head. There were little beads all over her, and like a mohawk. She's going full on Callisto at this point.
Yeah, it was
her heterochromia
sad.
Eyes going. Anyway, so let me ask you, what's the last episode you saw?
It's a new day. In the GCPD.
Oh, man. That's the halfway point. Almost near the halfway point.
All right, so that's okay. That's okay. Now, if someone asked you what would be the main thrust of the season, based on what you've seen so far, what would be, like, the way you would culminate the whole the first season?
Moving Penguin into a crime boss on his own.
They did that.
Probably killing off Maroni.
Yep. Although,
yeah,
he shouldn't have died because he's a big player in Gotham. Yes. But you know,
you have Don Falcone. Don Falcone finally being like what taken out.
Yep, he retires.
Okay,
he retires to Florida.
Okay.
Again, also Fish, a big part of the continuity of Batman, right?
Fish moving back into Gotham.
Yeah.
Or coming back.
What would happen with Gordon?
Wait a minute.
Gordon, the main star of the show. What
becoming, the captain and not commissioner yet.
No.
And then maybe the Riddler finally saying, peace this, peace out, A-Town down?
Kind of. You were really close. You left out, Barbara Gordon.
Who cares? Did she die?
Not Barbara Gordon. Barbara Kane.
Did she die?
No, in fact. So,
she's a crazy bitch.
She's a crazy. Complete crazy bitch. They've kind of alluded to that, so I'm okay with them doing a little bit, but they basically turned her into a killer. She killed her own parents.
I mean, she needed some kind of direction. She always looked pretty listless. Well, like, she didn't know what to do with her life.
The thing that's fucked up about
this. Put her on some vagina. That seems to do the trick.
Yeah.
Well, and they've dropped, what's her name? The question, not the question.
Oh, the woman who worked for
the lesbian.
Yeah, the Montoya? Good detective.
They dropped her like a bad habit. I don't know if they just didn't like the actress or just she has not come back. And I thought that was actually interesting to have them in there instead of do like a Gotham Central. Anyway, so yeah, Barbara goes crazy, and this is fucked up because okay, she basically tries to kill Gordon's girlfriend, the Dr. Tompkins, I think.
Mm-hmm. Leslie Tompkins.
Leslie Tompkins. And then if you think about it, what does Jim name his daughter?
Barbara.
Right. What? Why would you name your daughter
after your ex
crazy, who's a crazy person who tried to kill your current girlfriend? Anyway, that's crazy.
Well, they're already fucking with the content with the whole the mythos of everything. So
yeah, they're
apparently
just,
they've just thought his daughter's not going to be born.
They don't give a fuck. The other thing I thought from the very beginning when I saw Fish Mooney is she is going to be a very important role model for Catwoman. For Selina, just basically see this really strong, empowered, you know, mob boss and go, that's kind of what I want to become from this sort of street urchin that she started out as. They finally, in the last episode, pair them up. Up till then, like, they barely even knew who each other were.
For 5 minutes.
But yeah, for 5 minutes until basically Butch goes crazy, shoots both Penguin and Vish. And then
in the leg, well, non-fatal.
What his zagzication, whatever the hell you want to call it, came undone.
Yep. Well, yeah. And then fucking Penguin throws Fish over the building into the pond, into the river, into the whatever the hell that it's supposed to be. I guess the Hudson, basically.
Talked about this too much.
Anyway, all I'm going to say is, if you really want to hear me,
and we this is not even a like half of what the show was this week. Yeah. That just tells you how bad it was.
It really. I want to keep watching next season just to see the spectacle of bullshit that they're going to do. I do hope the showrunner who, I guess, did Rome and the Mentalist, he leaves and they put somebody actually who knows what they're doing in charge, but whatever. All right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't care.
Well, I know you don't care, but no, the audience cares.
No, they don't.
I care.
Nobody cares about S.H.I.E.L.D.
One thing you need to know about S.H.I.E.L.D. is they're doing.
They found a helicarrier.
No.
They're basically.
That would have been actually good.
They're forcing the inhuman fight.
Yes.
Much earlier than you probably thought they would have.
Right. And it is actually pretty good.
Because Reyna's a bitch that wants power.
Well, is it? Or is it Chang Yi who's basically the...
Reyna's the one that's... Reyna is trying to play them.
I don't think so. I think Reyna actually had the vision because Chang Yi, she did the crazy thing.
She had
basically
she had a vision.
Edward James Olmos came on the show as like some kind of a leader of a splinter faction of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Adama, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a leader. Much. He was a leader of a mission.
He very was much. Doing his best Adama impression with a
so
giant
good.
Mustache.
Oh my God, I loved it. I didn't like the mustache.
The leader of the Inhumans brought him in for a peace talk. S.H.I.E.L.D. wanted to go in for a peace talk to basically just come to an understanding with the Inhumans since they now acknowledge that there's this growing amount of metahumans out there with powers. And then the leader of the Inhumans does a swerve and is like, just kidding. I'm going to kill you because I've seen what happens when people try to, you know,
catalog their powers.
Identify us and make us be accountable. We'd rather be hiding in the shadows.
And then Fakes, shoots herself like he shot her.
Right.
To justify. That's why I think Reyna's actually, the who's the one who is, always said the wrong thing, always predicted doom, and there wasn't one, but then ultimately found out that the world was ending and then nobody believed her?
Chicken Little?
Well, that or Boy Cried Wolf. There we go. So basically, I feel like
Cassandra.
Yes,
yeah,
there you go.
I was letting him struggle. It was fun.
You bitch. But I feel like that's actually what they just revealed. And Zhang Yi or whatever Sky's mom is actually kind of evil, but not evil, just protecting
First off, I'm going to call her Sierra.
Yeah, just call her
Because she's
Sierra.
From fucking Dollhouse. So yeah. I'm excited that she's even there. And that she wasn't dead after they killed her and left her on the side of the street.
Well, you know, Cal put her back together.
Well, of course, yeah.
You.
So Reyna is pissed that, because she wants power. She wants, from her entire, getting her origin story from Cal, that's been the whole thing. She give her scraps.
Yeah.
She doesn't want the scraps after a while. She wants the top of the line, whatever. Sky's mom is the one who makes all the decisions. Because it started with the whole thing where she told Reyna, I will decide how and when you use your gifts. So Reyna wants that leadership and that power position. That's what she's always wanted. So she has this vision and tells, oh God, what's his name? Gordon.
The teleporter. Nightcrawler. Actually, I guess they introduce him in the Marvel books. Yeah. In some little back panel on one issue of something.
Inhumans, yeah.
He's got no eyes and he can teleport.
Yeah, so he always knows where they are and they call for him and he picks them up.
He's not Reader, but kind of. Oh, people thought he was Reader.
Okay.
But he's a new character. Anyway.
So she tells him what she wants him to know. And even if it is the actual vision, she plays them against each other. And of course, she's the one that wants to then be the one who meets with S.H.I.E.L.D., which she knows will anger Chun-Li.
Oh, so she's playing her.
She's playing her. Sierra. Daikin Lockman. Whatever you want to call her.
Yeah, I got
it. And then you've got on the other side, Coulson wants to go in because he's like a father to Sky. So he figures that's the easiest connection. He goes in. He sits down with her mother. They can peacefully figure something out. The Splinter Shield, the quote-unquote real shield, that came out of the whole, you know, the shadows led by Edward James Olmos, is now say they've come together now that Ultron has come out in theaters. The Theta Protocol, they were all like, what is this? What is this? Is the Helicarrier. Fury's back. He's obviously, you know, whatever.
They're going to reunite S.H.I.E.L.D.
So they reunited with Coulson as director and this other group because they wanted to run their S.H.I.E.L.D. as a democracy. Here's three or four people or whatever, five people that they are. They all make decisions together. If it's, you know, it's got to be a unanimous vote. This is how we're going to get something done. So that way there's transparency and all of this crap. So Coulson,
hippies.
Yeah. So Coulson is their director. They're his advisory board. So they all sit down and say, no, we think Edward James
Olmos. Send in Adama.
Reset the clock.
they figure that because Coulson is too close to the situation, he's not the right person to send it.
They also kind of want to stir the shit because they had that whole insurance policy thing.
Well, yeah.
Which was the gift he gave her. And what was in the box? I don't remember.
Oh, it was a little token that she was going to give to Sky and then never got a chance to. And he found
it. Which is an odd insurance policy given what happened. I wonder if there was more to that.
That was basically a token of goodwill. I think that was the big thing. They were S.H.I.E.L.D. The whole episode, you're meant to distrust the Edward James Olmos S.H.I.E.L.D.'s intentions.
Yeah.
But then once he did that, it was like, oh no, they were really coming in to kind of broker peace.
Right.
And that's when it was the swerve of the Inhuman saying, ah, fuck you.
I want you to know that you guys explaining this, and you're doing a very, very good job of it.
Yeah, you still have no desire
just,
to watch.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
And the more we talk about it, the more I think, you know what, but it's actually well written. It's getting better. I mean, it's been getting better.
But this is the thing. The people that don't want to watch it, the people that don't care, aren't going to watch it. Yeah. At this point, we're two seasons in, or about to be two full seasons in. We're getting a third season. If you're not into it already, and you already have the non-desire to watch it, you're not going to watch
it. It's like during a big event like Secret Wars, we get the war journals or we get the ancillary
content.
Ben Urich whatever thing. It's like that. You don't have to watch it to enjoy the S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Marvel Cinematic Universe main story, but it's nice as extra fillers.
Now, I can say that the girl who plays Reyna is probably going to be the loser in the battle.
Yeah, she's going to Preacher.
Yeah, yeah. And I can't wait to see Preacher.
Yeah, Preacher's exciting. All right, so let's move on because we beat S.H.I.E.L.D. to death. I will say Flash, they finally revealed Harrison Wells as the Reverse Flash.
They even did Grodd.
I haven't seen the Grodd one yet. But I am excited. I do like Grodd.
I will give him. I just give him props.
Did they do a good job of Grodd?
Do Grodd on a TV show.
But did they do a good job?
The CG was questionable, but it was fine.
Hey, Jared.
What's up?
What happens when Grodd becomes a communist? He becomes Stalingrad.
That's awesome. I love that. Very nice.
The internet is chuckling right now.
Yeah, we're all chortling. What else, TV? Is that it? I think
it's RuPaul's TV. Drag Race.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about it, really? With
we're going to talk about it, because, bitch, by the time this one gets around...
No, I'm going to catch up. Don't do this to me.
All right, let me just put it this way.
Ginger should have gone home.
Yes.
The internet and our fans may hate me for it. She should have gone home. This was not her challenge. This was a very weak one this last episode. She should have gone home.
Let us put this out there. We love Joshua. We love her husband William, who made
About Ginger as a person.
We love and support, and I am still like team sort of both him, you know, Trixie and Ginger, but I will say
team Katya.
And Katya now. I will say Ginger should have gone home too. I mean, I don't know if she'd even agree with it, but like the way they edited it and the way everything looked, yeah. She has survived to close eliminations, and the second one really should have gone the other way. And so much so that when they were doing the critiques, you know, they didn't really even have any critiques that were
She had
strong.
No negative critiques.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the Untucked episode, but apparently the Untucked episode for this past episode, they all thought a different – because it was a team dancing challenge – where it was prancing with the queens.
Mm.
So each of the remaining six paired up. So you had Trixie and Ginger, you had Pearl and Kennedy, and you had Katya and Violet. And apparently, they really thought that Violet and Katya were going to lip sync for their lives. And it ended up being Trixie and Ginger because of the fact that, yeah, Ginger may have stumbled a bit. They worked it out, but Trixie had no negative critique.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Peaks. You know.
Oh, Trixie just, got the axe again?
I was trying to dance around it delicately.
She did.
But yeah.
Listen, I mean, you'll see it all. It'll. So we're going down. We have the top five.
Who went out before.
No. Hey.
Except I just listed everybody else. So if you've been keeping up, you know who was gone.
Yeah, it was really unfortunate. But it's, you know, it's one of those moments where you just realize the whole thing is sort of rigged. Unlike some reality shows or competition shows, like I'm thinking cooking shows, like there is a lot of like producer driven storyline. And even though maybe the final winner is sort of democratic-ish because people actually respond and da da da, ultimately it's whoever RuPaul and her producers want to win.
And so, if you listen to What's the Tea with Michelle Visage, RuPaul's podcast, this past Wednesday they put out their first. They've been putting out episodes over the past couple of months, but Michelle Visage has been away doing Big Brother, doing the Battle of the Seasons tour, doing all of that. So they pre-recorded a ton of material. They come out every other week. So they recorded like 8 episodes while she was still here. This last one was the first episode that they talked about the season because they can do it now that it's been out there. And two things that made me kind of laugh. RuPaul brought up the Trixie Pearl lip sync and Michelle Visage was all like, yeah, they didn't see, you know, Pearl embodied Debbie Harry and was the essence of Blondie in that song, and that's why, you know, why she won. And RuPaul says, you know, basically agreed, and then she says, I went to see Blondie the next night after the episode aired, mm-hmm. Went to the after party, talking to Debbie Harry. Debbie Harry said, I like Trixie's better.
No!
At least a little bit. #justicefortrixie on that one. And then the second thing was the altercation between Rue and Pearl in the workroom, where Pearl just kind of sat and stared at her and was like, do I have something on my face? And instead of RuPaul just bitch slapping her like she should have, he had to just rein it in. And he goes, I had to put my producer hat on and realize this is a very good looking man out of drag and that he's going to be a very popular character on the show. So I didn't go, bitch, let me go help you fucking pack your shit and get out of here. And had to just, you know, be polite about it because he knew that this was going to be somebody the audience was going to like. So, I mean, if this were actually going to be reality, Pearl would have been gone by now.
Yeah.
But that's, you know.
And everything that, I mean, you can attest this more personally, but everything we have heard about Pearl as a performer and in and out of drag, she's a messy bitch.
Her performance wasn't great. She's very extremely charismatic. Extremely charismatic
in
drag.
That surprises me.
Oh my God. But like, it's this amazing, like, sexual tension type of thing. I was working backstage for White Party. And I swear to God, I thought Pearl was hitting on me. And I almost called for an adult. I was so, I was like, I don't know what to do. Violet was surprisingly like sweet and nice. And they had an issue. They lost their flash drive with their music and she was uber apologetic. And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I actually can see why people like you because they're having to interact with you. I mean, when you see them on the show, you only get to see what gets put on television. Yeah. So when you interact with them, you know, Kennedy, on the other hand. They didn't have to do much with editing.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
It's interesting seeing them in real life and the whole thing. But we have a couple more episodes. What, two more until the top three?
Two more. We go down to five, and then they're going to do a top four episode because the 19th is when they tape the finale. So I had to look at the calendar and go, they're not going to tape the finale before the final.
I've got a chance to catch up.
So we're probably going to have, what, four more weeks? Because they may do a recap episode. I'm not sure.
Huh.
They usually do that between the last taped episode to give them time, I guess, to edit down the finale taping down to probably an hour and a half.
What other television?
I'm watching Daredevil finally.
Yay!
Really?
Good for you.
Do you enjoy it?
I do.
Actually, since you weren't here, well, you're watching it, and you, Oral, weren't here when we did our Daredevil thing, mm-hmm. were you? Do you have anything you want to, real quick? Liked it.
Right? Any takeaways?
I loved it. It, you know, it's selling comic books has really allowed me to understand that sometimes some things just aren't for you. It's not that they're bad. It's not that, they're not interesting. It's that some books and characters aren't for you. And I'm not a very good street level person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
However, Daredevil was done in such a way where, you know, I really cared about the characters. I wanted to see where things went. I loved their portrayal of the Kingpin. Like, they made me interested. You know, and that's, you know, has to deal with editing and the way you write certain things and you shoot certain things. But I thought it was bleak and gorgeous. And I liked their take on Hell's Kitchen and that. You know, there are still some really seedy elements to it. And like the old neighborhood versus the new neighborhood and, you know, what each of them represents. And I liked it. I thought it was cool. And the choreography is gorgeous. And like that second fight is probably one of the best choreographed fights I've seen.
The hallway scene.
And, yeah. In a really long time. So,
Jared?
I really don't have much else to contribute to that.
How many episodes in are you?
I'm only in like five.
Oh, but you've seen D'Onofrio. He's shown up now.
Yeah.
He's just the amazing.
He's on the spectrum somewhere.
The gory parts were a little surprising, you know.
Oh, yeah. They catch you off guard.
Yeah.
The NC-16 rating to it.
Yes. They just did put out the synopsis for Jessica Jones. And it sounds like they're going straight up for Jessica Jones.
For what Alias did?
Yep.
Okay.
Does she have powers?
She did at one point. I don't know if she still does. But we'll see. I'm very excited to see Tennant in a role that is like...
In a purple suit?
In a purple suit with an awful American accent. Hopefully not too bad. But yeah, I'm excited. And Powers, I should also add, got picked up for a second season, although they're replacing the showrunner. So Houston's out.
Who was watching Powers?
That had a PS4, I guess?
I watched the first episode. It's not the Powers that I know. They took a lot of liberties and they've...
Who's still reading Powers? I should back up.
I stopped reading it for a while. But no, I mean, Eddie Izzard's in it, and I'm a big fan of Eddie Izzard, so I'll watch it to see him. Plus, I like Bendis. So
I wonder give it a chance. Why. Anyone care to wager?
What?
Eddie Izzard?
Yeah.
Jeff likes Eddie Izzard, too.
No, I like Eddie Izzard, too, but why do you in particular?
He's funny.
And?
That's it.
No.
What? Because he looks great in drag? What?
And?
He's in Hannibal?
And?
He's trying to insinuate they're attracted to him.
No, I'm not.
No, not just that.
He looks pretty rough lately. I don't know what you're talking about. Adam Family? The Mockingbird Lane? No, the Munsters reboot, right?
You have a fetish for everything Anglican.
Oh! Oh yeah, there's that too. Honestly though, that's like way down there.
I've got
there.
Some soggy tea bags.
I've gosh, heard, honey, I've heard.
Social life picking up.
Everyone gets one, Brian.
Everyone that's my one?
That's your one.
Oh.
Works for Spider-Man. It works for him.
All right. Video games. Now,
video games.
I don't have a lot to talk about, but I do want to mention that I just got Black Mesa, and I know I'm probably like...
It was about a year
way old. Behind in all okay. this.
Okay. I was just about to say, like, isn't there a new...
HD remake of Half-Life 2.
Yeah. That's what's
and
coming
And I need
out.
To get that now, too.
Yeah, okay. So I was wondering, I'm just like, Black Mesa isn't new.
I know,
Did
but
they
I,
release a new
I
Black Mesa?
Guess. They
actually
it on Steam.
They are finishing it.
Yeah,
they're gonna finish the Zen levels that they never put in the original. So I've heard that they're gonna. There was some big announcement that they were building up to the guys who did Black Mesa.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited. I love Half-Life. It's one of my favorite series.
I finally played Ori and the Blind Forest.
What'd you think?
That's gorgeous.
Yeah,
I heard it was very pretty.
It's Xbox
and PC.
And PC. Yeah.
NPC.
And PC.
Oh, and PC. Okay. Yes.
What is it about? I don't know.
It's a platform game, but you know they tug at the heartstrings in the first 10 minutes of it, and then you're just inundated with all this visual porn.
Do they up you?
Oh,
in
they
the beginning?
Really, they really do.
Yeah,
oh.
it's like a page out of Pixar. Oh,
your inciting incident is just a gut punch.
Oh,
nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
What's it called again?
Ori and the Blind Forest.
I'll have to check that out. I keep waiting for Bastion. Oh, Elite Dark. Fourth dark something. It's a space sim, so it reminded me of Wing Commander,
mm-hmm.
but with a lot prettier graphics, like gorgeous looking. And I posted something the other day, and one of my friends like was commenting about that of all random things. And anyway, I'm waiting for it to go on sale.
Which one is this?
It's Elite Dark something. Dark Child, Tony Braxton, maybe? I don't know.
I've heard Axiom Verge. That's about to come out already.
Ooh, Elite. I've seen that too.
Axiom Verge is made in the vein of the old Super Metroid on its Super NES,
ooh,
only
yeah.
with modified graphics and a bit more involved, but it's one of those kind of Metroidvania exploration
games. What
was
that game you were playing last night? It's like the weird platformy sort of...
Oh,
you...
Mr. Jump?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a mobile game.
I don't know.
It's Flappy Bird with a little bit extra depth.
Yeah, it looked pretty.
So Axiom Verge.
Uh-huh.
I have played it. It's very much in the same vein as Metroid. It's sort of like Metroid Contra, that whole sort of like alien universe kind of
thing. Go on.
A good proper side scroller.
Yes, yes, it is. It is. You know, your curiosity is rewarded. So whatever items you pick up to kind of further your character through the environment, you'll be pleasantly surprised by these things.
There was a game that came out on the old Xbox 360, and it was based on a book by Orson Scott Card.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Shadow Complex?
Oh, that one, yeah.
Story aside, the game was fantastic. Yeah. The controls, it was the same like a Metroidvania, where like you get powers which unlock parts of the map, and you get further in, so you're really weak at the beginning, you get stronger and stronger. But that same kind of thing. These games, when done right, are very enjoyable.
I also am downloading Final Fantasy 14. Now
really?
That my semester is over, I have had several people tell me I need to play it, and I thought, well, I'll give it a shot.
See, I've lost count as far as like what is what past.
This is the Realm
10.
Reborn.
14
this
is the second MMO.
It's the second
MMO. Second
MMO. And the second attempt to do a good job because they killed the whole realm.
Okay.
And,
in 11.
No, in 14.
No, 14, the original launch of 14 was so buggy and bad that Square, to get people using it again, did a full reboot and did it 14, A Realm Reborn.
Yeah,
and
so
they basically redid
Bahamut
everything.
Bahamut comes down and like takes out the whole world and they reset everything. And
Just to get people, just to get new players.
Everybody who's played it has said it's really good. And if you're a Final Fantasy fan and you like online gaming, it's great.
Okay. You know, that's really strange because Square doesn't strike me, and I miss Squaresoft.
Oh, me too.
I miss Squaresoft.
Square has changed since they became Square Enix.
Yeah.
Since they did the merge, things haven't been the same.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they had such a level.
Well, 15 looks amazing.
Yeah.
A level of detail. Not just for, like, art. Some of their art wasn't the great. Some of their game art. Like, you know, Jared. But, like, their stories were always really, like, really what got you. That's why I used to play Square games.
I think the moment that they jumped the shark or whatever is X2.
10-2?
10-2 was
Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, Charlie's Angels. 10 was an amazing game.
I don't
very
know what
gorgeous.
You're talking about. I often fight with dress spears.
Yeah, I mean, and some people really enjoyed that sort of game, but I, no.
High watermark for the storylines was Xenogears on the PlayStation.
I still need to play that.
Because that was a mixture of, like.
See, the first disc of Xenogears is actual gameplay, and then the second disc is just movies.
Well, yeah, but the story was really good.
It was.
I do kind of want to go check that. Every time the level comes up in, what's the game? Smash Brothers, the Xenogears level.
Oh, no, well, that's Xenoblade Chronicles.
Oh, well,
that's different. That's different. Not even Xenogears.
No? Yeah.
Well, there's a giant god creature in the background. I assume that it was related. Mm-hmm.
The DLC, the second and final DLC that we know of, for Mario Kart 8 came out.
Oh, the 200cc.
200cc is fucking insane.
People said it's a mess. They just can't.
Well, it's because, like, I play with the Wii Wheel. And so playing with
God. It's very unforgiving.
Yeah, it's not.
Wow.
It's because okay.
Do you play well with the Wii Wheel?
I do all right. It depends.
Do you wonder how much better you would be with a proper controller in your hand?
But you could even use the DS, honestly.
Here's the problem. I don't really know how to use a nunchuck.
Oh, okay. Really?
Like, I mean, that's fine.
You can learn that, though.
It's really
that pro controller. Get the pro controller.
We have one in the house, and so
that's like your handicap. You let somebody else use
it. But the thing is like I'm so used to because like Mario Kart Wii, I got so used to that, and I don't have the old like pro. I don't have the GameCube controller, and I miss it. But, like, it's just, it's a mess. It's a mess. I love it. The Ribbon Road is pretty much Toy Story done by Nintendo.
Oh, wow.
It's super cute. Like, the levels are great. They're gorgeous. It's really fun to drive through them. Like, Cheese Land can fucking kiss my ass, but.
Cheese Land?
Cheese Land.
Oh.
But it's great, but 200cc is...
Is it just... Is the
You
is
sneeze,
the,
you the, blink, you're fucked.
Is the AI just broken like everybody...
No, it's not broken. It's that it's fucking really good. So, like, if you make one mistake, you could have fucked yourself for the entire course. Like, there's just very little you can do. But it's a blast. It's a lot of fun.
I have to check it out.
I do want to mention, while we're talking about Nintendo, that Universal is partnering with Nintendo now.
And in just 10 short years, we'll get our rides based on Nintendo characters.
Exactly. But I'm excited.
If they can pull off like an actual life-size Mario Kart, though.
Oh, my God.
That'd be fucking amazing.
That would
be
amazing. Oh, my God.
Or some sort of Zelda. I want Zelda or a really good Mario ride. And then I'll actually go. I haven't been to Universal I moved down here 7 years ago.
How about they gut Men in Black and make it a Metroid shooter?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I had a moment. I'm good now. I'm back.
You fight Ridley at the end.
Oh.
Well, I read somewhere that there's rumors that they're doing this to start moving out Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Makes
sense. Because Marvel, Disney and Universal are in talks to try to get that. Because we're the only place.
30 years.
Yeah.
They have a thing for 30 more years in place. Wow.
But that was signed years ago.
Yeah. That was during the Avi Arad years where they were trying to stay afloat
pouring
by signing
Marvel
off
out.
Properties.
Yep.
Exactly. But if they did it with Sony, so there is maybe a chance that this is we're the only park. West Coast and all the overseas parks all have Marvel involved in it except for here.
Right.
Because that's how their contract is stated. So if that's true, they could be pulling out some of the Spider-Man ride and some of that stuff to put Nintendo in, which would be great.
Yeah. That would be enjoyable.
All right, let's move on to comics.
Well, I'd be sad to see Spider-Man go. I used to work there.
But what if it showed up in a better form over at Disney?
Yeah.
But he didn't work there.
But
he
didn't work there. There's just something about the Spider-Man ride. Yeah, it's memories.
Yeah.
Comics. I have them in front of me, sitting here, casting their warm, not really glow, but you know.
Let's all travel back.
Uh-oh.
A week and a day ago.
Oh, Jesus.
To a dark
Black Saturday.
Oh, my
Free
God.
Free comic book day?
Free comic book day is a really great day where people who wouldn't necessarily read comic books come into brick and mortar stores. And if you're a comic book worth your salt, like you'll do it because right. It doesn't make sense not to. Like you can't afford not to do Free Comic Book Day.
I remember there was one year even, it wasn't even a new comic. It was a republishing of the first issue of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back from the 80s.
Yeah, sometimes they do it.
And that was great.
Yeah. And so, you get a smattering of the big two and what they're planning and you get some stuff from smaller publishers that's really cool and cute and,
This year, slim pickings. I thought. I thought
it wasn't that it was slim pickings. It's just a lot of what we got from DC is stuff that we were telegraphed.
Mm.
Like there was nothing that was really exciting and new.
Divergence.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Convergence.
I'll get to that.
Also not to be confused with the book series and movie series?
Not to be confused with those.
Unless they're trying, maybe.
This year was a fantastic year because I got to meet a whole bunch of new people and good. It was great, but I was driven insane.
Yeah.
Past my breaking point.
Uh-oh.
I kind of remember seeing you guys.
We were there.
Coming to the store.
It was crazy this year.
It was...
We did a group outing with the Orlando Gay Geeks. We did a pub crawl.
Mm. With no booze.
Was booze eventually.
We
went to Chili's and got booze. But then at the end, yes. We came back to the Geekies and had some beers.
I know it's because of the movies and the hype. Like, this year was a really good year. But it was insane.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
You guys were out of the all-new, all-different Avengers.
Yes.
By, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And we ordered heavy on that. You know we did.
Oh, I know.
It's just, some things just can't be helped.
Well, that's good. It portends well because basically that was the future of the Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. which is this all new, all different team that has...
Somewhat all new.
Iron Man's still there, although we don't know which Iron Man.
Yeah, because they mentioned we don't have Stark's money or whatever anymore.
Female Thor, Black Captain America, Vision... Young Nova, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and Miss Marvel, Camilla, I can never say her last
Kamala
name.
Kamala Khan,
thank you.
So you don't know how to say Khan?
It was the first name. Screwed me up. That's right. But no, I mean, and I really enjoyed the issue. I thought it was actually really well done. The Divergence thing, you said it was kind of a wreck. But,
yeah, it's bits and pieces of DC.
I hate the Superman one. I just don't, I'm actually, and you may want to get into this. I think actually I'm done with DC at this point. I really don't see myself. The only thing I might keep up reading is Justice League because the Dark Side stuff and the New Gods, that's my catnip.
Yeah, because you read the...
That's my thing. Like, I'll do that.
Justice League 40 was great.
Justice League 40 was amazing.
But Divergence spins not out of Convergence, but just it's where DC's going
right.
in this new direction past issue 40 and once... Convergence is over. Convergence is a goddamn shitty ass mess. Like, it's awful.
I've been reading it, and the Captain Marvel Shazam issue is good.
There
if
are
you
bits
like
and
that.
Pieces.
If you like that sort of thing.
The Rekka question, if you like the question, it ties up loose ends with that. Good.
Booster Gold was great because it's Jurgens and it's old Booster.
Superman
and new Booster.
With the baby with Lois, I actually kind of liked.
And so, if you're... And please, this is not me throwing shade. If you're over 38 and you have read DC Comics, this is the DC event you've been waiting for because you hated the New 52.
But don't get
used
to it.
And you got exactly what you wanted and you see it's a goddamn mess. I was They gave me Wonder Woman, old school Wonder Woman, with Red Mist Gotham, and Batman Vampire was my first Batman book. It was trash.
Yeah.
It was trash.
The part of the problem is they're giving these creators who are either older creators like Len Wein and Dan Jurgens and all that, they're giving them 2 issues to tell a compelling story. And they have to shoehorn in every issue the fucking domes, and then they have to do a mashup of 2 different universes fighting. And then they gotta go somewhere with it in 2 issues. It's not enough time to do anything. And some of the writers are bringing back, let's face it, they're kind of played out. They probably should just stick to whatever they're doing, which is, you know, great. But I mean, it's just awful. The main story is awful. It's awful.
Which is sad because I love Earth 2. And like, I care about Earth 2 characters.
I like Earth 2 as well.
Yeah, but you shouldn't use them as your main lens. Like,
yeah.
It's good when they're doing their own thing and left alone.
Yeah, and the problem too is that, you know, it's chaotic. They're bringing up all of these villains that they're either creating and introducing for the first time or that we haven't seen in years.
Yeah.
Like over a decade.
Obscure characters. And it's okay to bring back obscure characters if you do it well.
Yeah,
they're not doing it well.
I don't know who any of these characters are.
Yeah.
Multiversity was great. Like if Multiversity had been an event, that would have made sense.
Yeah, and Multiversity has weird echoes with Convergence.
It does.
Because it's that same mashup of all these different universes. But in this case, they're all combining to fight a common bad guy.
Right. Which would have been fine. But that's not what Convergence is.
So let's talk about Multiversity. Because I actually had the same conversation the other night with Comic Book Bears. The second issue, basically the end of the Multiversity series, I don't quite know what happened. And I love Morrison.
In a Morrison story?
I know, shocking.
Get out of here.
But I love Morrison's work, and I love digging into Morrison, and I'm not trying to do that here too much. But I don't, like, the only thing I really took away from it was there's this one part where the main monitor guy, Nick Suotun, is, like, trying to solve a Rubik's Cube, okay? And they do this thing with panels where the Rubik's Cube, which is, what, a 8x8 something grid, you know? Basically, it unravels and becomes the panels of the comic. And so the whole idea is that the way to access other universes is by these panels in comics. And the whole conceit is the characters in the series are reading the same comics that we're reading as part of the series. And that gives them the ability to work together and transcend each other's like universes. Yeah.
That was my mind blowing up.
But it was a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I like some of the new characters that we saw, like Aquawoman.
Aquawoman was badass.
She was badass. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed Multiversity from beginning to end. There were some issues that were rough because I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
But you read it because you knew it was good. Like, you felt it was good. Like, even if you were, like, even Pax Americana, which was really dense and slow, like I got it.
Dense is the right word, though. Oh, God.
The
thing I actually also want to mention is I'm reading The Filth by Morrison, which I had always avoided because basically it deals with like dying pets, and I've had my share of those, you know, in general. So I'm like, you know, Morrison talking about it, he's like, this was me trying to process my cat dying and all this stuff. But I'm reading it now, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's so much in The Filth. Well, there's some stuff, I should say, in The Filth that sort of preclude or preludes what he's doing in this. Having the comic books as like another world. I mean, it's all the stuff he's talked about in Super Gods that I think is really cool and I like, but it's just, it's hard. It's really hard sometimes to get what's going on, but you can enjoy it as like the ultimate crisis. I mean, that's the other thing is basically this is the crisis of all universes, not the final crisis. It's like, not even Infinite Crisis, because I already did that, but it's the same idea. Every universe is having a crisis at the same time. So anyway, it's really good, and it just wrapped up.
Multiversity was great.
Everything else, though.
Did we talk about Batman 40?
No.
Batman Endgame was great.
Endgame was.
I read about the end of Batman 40.
Yeah, and the art was some of the best that
Capullo has
done. The story was really good. I need to reread it all again because there are bits of it that didn't make sense, but I guess that's because he was in the labyrinth?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, Snyder's a very dense like Morrison, you have to kind of really pay attention to what you're getting.
Mm. Yeah, but there were just segments that just didn't kind of
gel
together. And so I want to make sure, like, on a second rereading, like, I totally got it. But it was great. It was entertaining. It felt like the stakes were high, and it was... It was a fantastic way to go out.
Yeah. So,
even though he's not leaving.
So spoilers. How long are we going to take Batman off the table for this much?
Probably maybe 6 months or a year.
Six months or a year.
It's the usual arc. Probably until next year, because then you have the
movie.
The movie. But I mean, I'm interested to see the Batman as Jim Gordon in a mech suit. That's
the Robo
kind of
Batman.
Interesting. That's kind of different. You know, I'll go with it. Jim Gordon is his star is rising, so to speak, with like the Gotham. You know, focus and all that other stuff. So
unjustly,
you know,
or otherwise.
Well, unjustly, yeah. But I mean, I'll go along with that. But the Superman thing, the whole conceit is everybody knows it's Clark Kent now because Lois Lane exposes him. I just don't. And then the issue that Romita wrote Andrew.
Oof. You know, it was fun.
Yes, just.
I mean,
he doesn't know the voices of those characters,
no.
Which shocks me because he's been around.
That's the fun part is that like it.
It was a jokey,
really
weird
cyclical.
Mess. Yeah.
It was really stunting. Mm. And it was just, it was a little bit of levity in a series that's gotten really grim recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, like he's human. So he goes out for drinks with the Justice League.
Gets drunk with his friends.
Yeah. And,
badly disguised friends. Aquaman is wearing an orange, like, shirt.
With some green pants.
Yeah. Like, it's like, okay, I know who it's supposed to be.
The art wasn't for me because I don't like Romita's art.
See, I like his art. Shouldn't write. I am, although I will give Jen Li Yang, I actually heard a lot of good things about his indie stuff, so I'm actually interested to see. But just the story and Divergence, I didn't love.
Yeah, no, I'm just.
So DC is pretty much dead to me at this point.
Okay.
Again, Justice League 40. Dark Side War.
Great.
New Gods. They're basically setting up the Anti-Monitor as some kind of former New God or something.
And the big thing for Dark Side War is that, you know, everyone complains that, oh, you know, it's a reboot, it's a reset, it's a crisis, and like there's no sort of like lasting effects from
right.
them.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing is that all of this has happened over and over again. And so like time restarts itself. Creation rebirths everything, but that taking a lot of strain on reality
and
itself.
The New Gods are outside of that and have seen this rebirth cycle.
Yeah. And so
it's Geoff Johns trying to unify all of DC continuity.
Make it all important.
Mm-hmm. Make it all linked together, which sort of is cool. I mean, I like what Moffat did in Doctor Who, but you know, it could just be a bunch of
it's just not. Reality itself is going to come undone.
So, right.
But let's talk about something that we've been waiting for, something that is great, something that shows you that Marvel really has keyed into everything that they've been setting up, that they know what they're doing, that's not a mess.
The shows they have ultimate trust in one man.
Well, he's a smart man.
And he's going out on a high note, and I've been waiting for this since Avengers versus X-Men.
Well, I mean, we've been probably the biggest like defenders of Hickman's new Avengers and Avengers stuff. So many people dropped and just didn't. They just didn't like it. They couldn't follow.
They were being lazy. That's
yeah,
what
they
it
were
was.
Being lazy. But this is the thing about Hickman.
They wanted it. They wanted it to be as strong as the end of Fantastic Four was.
Right.
At the beginning of the Avengers.
Right. And if you read the Fantastic Four run of Hickman, which all ties into this, which I love. Like, you gotta follow the individual stories and see how eventually it all kind of combines into this thing. Now, having said that, you don't have to actually have read all that to enjoy Secret Wars, because really, it all culminated in issue one with the Marvel Universe being merged and or destroyed by the Ultimate Universe, and this kind of resets everything to some new thing, which is Battle World.
Right.
And that's what issue two dives into.
Well, both are destroyed because the end of the issue has the tombstone for both the Marvel Universe.
I choked up. I'm not going to lie. I choked up.
It was sad. It was really kind of like, oh. And the Brevoort interviewed, they were doing one of the comic publisher sites.
CBR.
It was a CBR. Yeah. And, you know, that was totally Hickman, just kind of, you know, whatever. And it's the Punisher logo.
Yeah.
There is actually a funny scene in Secret Wars 1 where Wilson Fisk is basically like inviting everybody to all the villains to come witness the destruction of the end of the universe and blowout.
Yeah, they're like, we're not going to deal with this at all. We're going to go out with a bang.
And so, have a good old time.
Yeah. And so none of the villains are out there. It's all the heroes fighting. And that's what I love about Secret Wars is that heroes, comic book heroes are personifications of these ideals that we have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like truth and, you know, perseverance and honesty and integrity. Mm-hmm. And all of those are great when you save the day. But when your back's up against the wall and it's either extinction or survival, all of that goes out the window. Yeah. And you're left with just this horrible, brutal savagery. It is like the fight with Brienne of Tarth and the Hound, where she just picks up the rock and she's bashing him over the head with it, because she knows if she shows any sort of leniency, if she, you know, tries to reclaim some humanity, she's dead. And that's what I love about it. It's us, or these two universes bashing each other over the head with rocks. Yeah. Because this is all they've got left.
Right. Well, and for once, it's not a good versus evil thing. It's not somebody being in the wrong. It's not a bad guy and a good guy. So you know who to root for. I mean, in the end of it, we know that, you know, when it comes out, there is no actual ultimate universe. So most of that's going away, but how it's going to happen, you have to sit there and kind of just be like, okay, well, somebody's got to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was brutal. And the best part, I think, is the Doom stuff, which in the preview or the other issues.
New,
you know,
Avengers, like, 33?
Yeah, Doom is basically, like, you think all is lost with his whole scheme as being revealed as...
Rabba Malal.
And you're like, oh, my God. He's actually getting to confront God. It's like the Beyonders are basically kind of God in that, or if you want to go Morrison, they're the comic book creators that basically can do whatever the fuck they want to the universe. And Doom is the only character who will stand up to him and say, you know what? I don't want you doing this. And they don't really show what happens, but
I wouldn't say that. I think Doom made the hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you read, well, I like the Avengers because this whole run ultimately boils down to Tony and Steve.
Oh, yeah. One is life and one is death.
And that was great. And when you read the last issue of New Avengers, where you found out Doom created this religion to help him save the multiverse, and he did some really fucked up things.
He was a serial killer. He killed the Molecular Man. Is it the Molecular Man?
Yeah.
Because
Molecular Man is a bomb that will destroy the multiverse slowly.
But it's like he did what he had to do. He bought us time. He yeah. saved us.
Yeah.
And like it's cool. I've been reading some of the synopses for what's coming up in Battleworld, and I'm super excited. And we're going to get Jason Aaron doing a really weird book.
Strange something?
Thors.
Oh, the Thors. But he's doing another one. It's like a sort of a fantasy sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the Thors is interesting. It's like the Green Lantern Corps, but they're all Thors.
They're Thors of the multiverse, and they police Battleworld.
Yeah, it's batshit nut crazy. It's the same promise of like Convergence, where you're like, I want to take this character from my box, I want to take this other character from another box, and they're gonna fight.
But
and
it's all fight. Good writers. Well, but, not yeah. all good writers, well, but they're good writers on the things that we want to see. Like X-Men 92 is finally coming. That's coming because of Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. A-Force is gonna be Secret Wars.
E for Extinction?
Yeah.
The Morrison stuff, they're extending. Burnham is doing it.
Inferno. Is coming back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Old Man Logan.
Mm-hmm. Back. I'm very excited about Old Man Logan.
Future Imperfect.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
They're referencing, I saw the list they were compiling on certain websites, and it was just gigantic by the end.
It's massive. Nuts. Like the pullout that's the map of Battleworld that shows you all of the tie-ins that are coming in the next like 4 months.
So I was wondering how long is the event?
It's 4 months.
So we're basically looking at an Age of Apocalypse like situation here. So in 4 months, we're gonna tell all these stories. They're probably double shipping, so you're getting like 8 issues or something, maybe, I don't know, per story. But I mean, by the end of it,
some of them are 5.
Okay. So by the end of it, though, we will get back to something. So if you are a fan of continuity and, oh, my God, continuity, you know, you should watch – you should read Secret Wars. It's a lot of fun. And it is continuity. I think they're not going to just wipe the slate clean when they're done.
Well, they can't. The characters are still going to be the characters.
Right.
So if Peter Parker, Spider-Man, is there at the end of Secret Wars, that's the original, that's Peter Parker. That's not a new Peter Parker.
Yeah, like it's, well, we're, well.
They haven't said. They really haven't said.
There's renew your vows, which is like, kind of like the MC daughter. 13. Peter and Mary Jane are together. And so Mayday is there. And then you have Spider-Verse that's going on with those characters that we saw in Spider-Verse. And then you have Peter somewhere. We just don't know yet.
So, I mean, it's the Marvel Universe for the first time ever is actually in some state of flux.
Were they doing an Earth-X Battle World book at all?
They should have. If
because
they didn't,
Hickman's love for Earth-X, that was surprised me that they didn't even go near.
Well, I think it's everything that he's done and he had to leave some things out.
Yeah. It might be reflected in the Secret Wars main book.
Could
be. Because when you think about it, like, it's not just, I keep forgetting, even though I really love that run, his run on Avengers. I wondered why, because you know, like, when some people write, like, an event book, some of their characters that they've already written sound really good, and then some are kind of, like, broken a little. Like, I'm just like, everyone just seems so great, and he has this really awesome take on Ultimate. You idiot. He wrote Ultimate Reed.
Oh, yeah. Well, that whole stuff. Like, he talked about in an interview on 11 o'clock comics that, like, he was thrilled to come back to those characters. Although, I think he said it in sort of a fishy, sort of vague way, but that was the idea. And he's getting to bring them all back. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome. Now, I do want to move on, to some other stuff. X-Men, the rumor is they're going to put them on their own planet.
Because the Terrigen bombs are now poisonous.
We'll see if this is actually legit. This is all Bleeding Cool. Who knows?
Which, I mean, they said that it kind of already played out when Quicksilver tried to use Terrigen crystals to restore mutant powers. And
Back in the X-Factor books?
No, it was before that.
That was after, like, during, like, M-Day and
everything?
Yeah,
after M-Day.
That was an X-Factor book.
It was Madrox X-Factor.
Yeah, okay.
But that's the rumor. We'll see what happens. Any other Marvel stuff besides Secret Wars? They're still wrapping up things. Some books, Hawkeye is going to just continue unaffected.
We never mentioned Cyclops Phoenix.
Oh, that.
Wow. He got put on the life raft.
Yeah, that was odd, though. It was like a weird, like, I just shoo him in there. I mean, I assume all the people on the life raft are going to have some role in the main book, but
yeah,
it was just weird.
We'll get to that. Uncanny Avengers, Scarlet Witch is no longer.
That's right. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. High Evolutionary abducted the children as kids.
From their gypsy parents.
From the gypsy parents in Sokovia or whatever the hell they are.
Sokovia.
And, yeah, and then
in the Secundes Mountains.
With Mount Wundagor.
Sure.
Yeah. They took him away, and he experimented on him, gave him their powers, and put him back. And I guess Magneto somehow just sort of glommed onto that. I don't know.
In my mind, I'm not buying this. And it's... You know me, I don't fan.
You got that one character that's got both of their powers.
I have really big issues with you, like, doing, like, this unified
retcon
front.
Oh, okay. Like, with the movies?
Well, retcons are retcons. Sometimes they happen. But, like, I just don't care. Don't be stupid. Like, fiction and film are two different things. And I hate that we have to cater, not to the uninitiated, like, but you just, you know, if you've never read a comic book, read this. Well, isn't this that? I'm just like, no, that's a movie. It's like, well, I thought it was Marvel. Fiction and film.
It's the ongoing debate of the Game of Thrones book versus the damn show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can have two separate things, and it's both of them still be great.
No,
yeah.
You do have to. But, so what else Marvel, though? Is that it? I think that's pretty much the big stuff.
We're just waiting.
Probably missing something huge. But basically, some of your titles will be ending sooner rather than later. Some of them are doing the last days thing to kind of carry them through. Magneto's doing that. I think Silver Surfer's doing that.
I think so.
Miss Marvel, maybe. Like, there's a couple that are doing that. Mighty Avengers, of course. And then others are just like, nah, we're done.
I haven't kept track. Did the Dan Slott Silver Surfer book do well?
Okay, I like
that as well as the other ones I've ever done.
Yeah, it's all red art is awesome, but some people just don't like it. They just don't like all red, and the stories have been very Doctor Who, very
case of the week,
fun. Yeah, capers. He did confront Galactus though; that was kind of fun.
Again,
so did Squirrel Girl, by the way. Also, not ending, going right through Secret Wars unaffected, and it's awesome.
Thank God.
Do not. I saw those eyes roll in the back of your head. Squirrel Girl is a lot of fun. And
it's a good all ages book.
But it's got
sense.
It's got sort of the bat girl from DC, sort of like all ages, maybe, but like younger readers that aren't like kids.
Yeah, no,
I think would get the humor. They'll get the tech, you know, all that stuff.
It's a good book for like all ages readers and like people who just want something fun and quirky. It's not for me.
It is quirky. It's very quirky and it's good. Image or other indie as we kind of lump them together. I do want to mention. Afterlife with Archie is excellent. It's been really good. Sabrina number two
finally came out.
Oh, yeah, not really. It took forever. Archie versus Predator.
That's all right. Like
it's stupid fun.
Yeah,
fun.
If I had to choose one Archie title, it's gonna be Sabrina because Sabrina's just right up my alley, and it's dark and it's creepy and it's super fucked up.
But they're doing some fucked up stuff, even though the comic style is still there, like the damn parent, and I forgot the other artist guy. He told me his name. But the other one is doing the Predator one. It's fun. It's in that style, but it's still dark because they're killing people.
Yeah.
And they're doing the Sharknado thing they announced finally.
Yes.
Which is, again, ridiculous. They're doing a one-off issue tie-in.
I mean, kudos to that whole company for trying to get some new blood into what could be a very one-note property.
And they're doing really well. If it wasn't for the delays for Afterlife and Sabrina, they'd be better off.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going on with that, but they're doing a reboot of Archie too with some big names.
So with Mark Waid and
actually Archie's ending with 666. So
gasp.
That's the end of Archie, and then like we'll get the relaunch.
Yeah. Other stuff has been really good. The Descender
by Jeff Lemire.
Very good.
The art's gorgeous. Ugh. It's AI without all the boring parts.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There's the Gabe Hardman. Oh man, I should look this up. It's like a political far future planet.
Invisible Republic?
Yes. I really have enjoyed that. Hickman's, although they've only done one issue to come back, the Manhattan Project's rebooted.
Yeah. Stars.
It's been great. I mean, I've enjoyed that all the time. Actually, one of the strippers, so we went down to Miami this weekend, or Fort Lauderdale, sorry, and we went to a strip club. There was a stripper there looking at Nick
Which
Patara.
Strip club?
Swingin' Richards.
Okay.
Nick Patara. Oh my God. I was like, it's freaking me out. So I actually messaged him. I said, are you stripping now in Fort Lauderdale? Cause he's been posting all these Frank Quitely art pieces he's been buying, because he's a big Frank Quitely fan, of course. If you see his style, you go, obviously he's a Frank Quitely fan. But I mean, you know, it was kind of me being stupid and just trying to. So he is, I believe, coming to Heroes Con. I'm very excited. Nick's great, lots of fun. So Manhattan Project's been great. East to West is killing. I love that whole world Hickman's built.
Bitch Planet has been fantastic.
I have not read the most recent issue, but up to that, I was like, oh, okay, it's interesting.
It's really good.
It's better than Odyssey.
ODYC just isn't my thing. Gem and the Holograms has been a blast.
Really?
It's been a blast. It's, you know, is it award-winning stuff? No, but I really like it.
Yeah.
I like the revamp. They made all the girls, I mean, I like it because these girls finally look realistic, but there's still that gay aesthetic that I want where they all look like they lick bouillon cubes and eat air for dinner.
Do they have the computer?
Heroin chic?
Yeah, no.
They're sticking close to the story.
Synergy is there. And, okay. You know, they help out with the community center, which, you know, it's the orphanage and just, like, it's all there. Okay. It's all there. And Kimber is, I think, bisexual.
Is she a dirty Leslie?
She's bisexual.
Okay. Well, that's consistent.
At least. She likes...
Dirty... What? No.
It's
no.
consistent with jizz and the mammograms.
That's what I'm saying. That's all that I know of, really.
That's not canon for Gem and the Hologram?
I assume
Oddly
that's canon.
Not.
I assume
Oddly not canon.
And the art by Sophie Campbell.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Trans creator.
What was the new space book with the gay character?
Captara. Space, why you gotta be like that?
Yeah, that was cute. I enjoyed that. That's, the artist
Chip Zdarsky
from Sex Crimes. That's
Sex Criminals.
Sex Criminals. That's one of his. That's Sex Crimes is a Beck album, or a song. The Sex Crimes. And he's doing that. And he's doing Howard the Duck.
Did you mean Sex Laws?
Sex Laws. God damn it! Shut up. I blame the chalada.
He's just gonna start saying Sex Bomb, and he's gonna sing Tom Jones'
Sex Bomb.
I think it's time we close.
Aww.
With a Tom Jones reference?
Yes.
That's a great way to do it. Now, I do want to point out, by the way, we are now on SoundCloud. We've been for a little while.
We're in the cloud.
And we are on, most recently,
Stitcher.
Thank you. And we have been told by our network we are the third most downloaded show on Nerdy Show.
Bronze is still something.
I don't know. I did not stay for that part of the meeting. But I would encourage you guys to go to Nerdy Show's website. They have a brand new site design. It's really nice. And there's an app for Nerdy FM. We have, I believe, an ad from Oral circulating. Remember that ad we recorded?
Mm-hmm.
That should be circulating on there.
So many takes.
Hear us. Yeah, really. You may hear us on there. We will be providing Patreon content. If you have not checked out Nerdy Show's Patreon, that is the way you can support our show. We will be providing bonus content very soon. And we also have an Amazon link set up for Nerdy Show, and evidently that's doing pretty well too. So if you go to Amazon anyway and buy stuff, go through the Nerdy Show link and help us make some money off of Amazon.
Yay, monies. When are we going to see some of that monies?
Yeah, someday. Actually, there's talk very soon. It'll probably just go to Facebook ads, but the Heroes Con is coming. I will be there, I believe.
It's one in Baltimore?
That is, no, that's the one in Charlotte.
Charlotte.
I'm sorry.
Who? Aaron's about to have his second kid. I ain't going nowhere.
Jared, do you want
to
go?
You're going to live at the shop.
Would you like to go to Heroes Con with me?
What?
Yeah, we'll talk. The Nerdy Show has had a good representation there recently, or the last few years, and we have hosted panels there, and they're really sweet. So no, we have, some convention stuff coming up. New York Comic Con is coming. We'll probably be there. Oh, stop. Don't be a hater.
You know what? Look, behind the scenes, this is how it works. Everybody gets to do shit, and I stay home and mind the fort, aka chain to the store.
Whose home are you at?
You got one bitch, and you used it.
I can't go for two.
It's about to get ugly in here.
You know what? I could say some things, but I'm not, because with that, flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast, or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.